And a welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. Feels like a field trip kind of day, if you will, because I'm not in studio. In fact, I'm in South Dakota, and well, we really have no idea where Dean is, kind of per usual. But I don't think it's nice enough for him to be out golfing today. So we're going to see how this goes. But as you may have heard at the top of the hour news,
hey, folks, thanks for sticking with us. We all of a sudden had just a whole failure of audio quality, et cetera. So I think Addison and I have got that fixed, so we can have a whole lot better show for you today. So as always, thanks for joining us here on WDAY for Weather and Ag in Focus. You heard the weather at the top of the hour, and it sounded like there was some rain this morning. I'm not in the neighborhood. In fact, I'm down in Pierce, South Dakota for the South Dakota Cattlemen's Convention. So for those of you who have had a chance to look out the window and see what the weather is doing, if there are still slick roads out there, why don't you drop me a message, ag@flagfamily.com, and let me know what's going on so I can report that out for all others. You are also welcome to call in on the Red Wing Shoe line at 701-293-9000, and you can do that because then you get a chance to talk with our guest today. And I am so looking forward to getting to our guest. Something that not everybody knew, or at least I didn't, is that there's a major farm show in the Midwest, and it's called the Farm Progress Show. I've attended it twice. It has a permanent location in Boone, Iowa. There's additionally another permanent location in Illinois, and so this alternates back and forth each year between the two states. What I didn't know was up until 20 years ago, that show was not held on what you'd consider like a fairground site, but on a farm. And our guest today is one of the gentlemen whose farm hosted the Farm Progress Show, literally taking years in advance to prepare and then afterwards a year to clean up. Because if you're going to host somewhere in the neighborhood of 250,000 people on the farm, it appears you've got to do a few things to get ready for it. And I'm very excited to talk to Alan Kemper today about that. Alan also has an illustrious farming career, as well as he's been very busy with commodity groups. If I'm not mistaken, Alan's been past president of the American Soybean Association, as well as the National Corn Growers Association. He has always had a hand in what is going on and needs to be done for the betterment of our farm community. But can you imagine, you thought getting ready for Christmas was a big deal, but now you've invited hundreds of thousands of people. Oh, and there's one more thing I forgot to mention. This all happened the week of 9/11. So, Alan Kemper, I believe you're on the line with us already. We're going to maybe start just a little bit early today with you. How are you, Alan?
Hey, we're fine. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
I can indeed. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am wildly excited to hear all the things you have to share. So, Alan, do you want to just give a little introduction of who you are and where your farm is located?
Yes, that'd be fine. We're about 100 miles southeast of Chicago, near Lafayette. A Purdue fan, Purdue alum. With that, we don't talk football much because we're basically losers. Anyway, the farm, we've farmed several thousand acres. My son is actually the fifth generation farm to farm Kemper Farms, and it started back in 1888, and we were established, and so we're mainly corn and soybeans at this time. We did have cattle at additional past years with that. So a little bit about the farm show, and you have to keep reminding me to look towards the camera, not down the keyboard. But anyway, we started that show probably about 4 years prior to 2000. Of the whole community got behind it, decided to put a bid in for it. Like you said, prior to the Decatur and the Iowa shows, that was bid by various farmers or farm groups around the state. And Indiana hosted in 2001. Prior to that, it was Iowa and Illinois and then Indiana. But the whole community got behind it, but we had to put a package together for the Farm Progress shows and corporations to try to bid for that.
Okay, so a bid process, and you said that started 2 years in advance of the actual show being hosted on your farm in 2001. What goes into that bid? Was that, you mentioned a whole community involvement. What are some of the things that you had to talk about to bring this to your farm?
Yeah, no doubt it was a whole community. It was Lafayette Chamber of Commerce, and Lafayette's only about 12 mile away, put in a bid letter and what they would give the rural electric Tipman RMC had to say they could supply the power, because basically you're building a 40 acres of a city. That's like 40 football fields of a city. You have to lay the ground, you have to lay the wire, you have to put the lines in, you have to do, we had cows, which I never heard of before, but cows are cellular on wheels. We had to have several cellular towers put into the site. With that, we had to have a state police say, yeah, we can do the traffic. The sheriffs had to say they could get certain roads blocked off. The healthcare had to say they could support it with life support. And the fire departments would have to be there, too. So we had to put all that package together prior to it. And then the farmers ourselves, there was two main farmers, Jerry Smith and myself, that actually anchored it. Had to, you know, give the wherewithal that we would sign off on it. And like you said, the show actually started the process about 3 years prior, and it ran to about 2 years afterward, because you just can't clean up. When we had the show with it, it's like, okay, we have the show, the Farm Progress takeover. They did a nice job parking the people. There was 40 acres to the south, the parking lot, 40 acres to the north. They did like a Disney World to get into the admissions to the show. But you're inviting 100,000 people a day for 3 days to be your friend. And so we could go down through, and I don't know if any of the pictures arrived, but we'd go down through some of the golf carts and not recognize your mother or father, because there was just so many people that your brain couldn't really comprehend who you were actually looking at.
Well, we did get the pictures, Alan, and we're going to make sure to show those on our live stream as we talk today. But okay. When we come back, you and I have many things that we want to visit about. You mentioned just the bid process, but I have talked about you coming on as a guest. I have had questions from folks asking me things such as, did you have to trench in additional power? Are the roads gravel around you? Where did people stay? How did you handle parking? And we're going to get to that and so many more after. Remember, folks, so many of you have questions out there. You are welcome to call in and visit with Alan Kemper and I, and you can reach me at 701-1000. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us, folks. And, well, really, it's just me today. Dean's off doing something, and I'm actually coming to you live from Pierre, South Dakota. I'm down here for the South Dakota Cattlemen's Convention. Nothing is more fun than having great beef at a cattleman's convention. They don't have chicken on the menu, as some have you may have asked me. Now, my guest today is Alan Kemper. Alan is south of Chicago. We are talking about the fact that his Illinois farm hosted what was then and still is today a major farm show back in 2001. And this is the Farm Progress Show. Alan, I didn't even realize that Farm Progress was held on farms up until just over 20 years ago. And had you attended many Farm Progress shows before you thought, yep, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and I want to get on board to host this?
Well, I think for the fact that we've attended over the years, everyone that's been close to us, as you know, they go to Iowa and Illinois, we're Indiana, but we would get to every third year to a show, and they're very, very interesting. They're interesting for farmers. They're interesting for students. It's just a magnificent view of all the people in the area. So it's been good as we put this whole show together.
So some of the questions, just when it comes to logistics, you put a bid together for hosting. But what did you have to do to prepare fields? Because when I go to Farm Progress in Moone, Iowa, I see demonstration fields that are planted with either early season corn so it can be combined while we're there, or maybe they don't plant soybeans until very late so they can demonstrate other pieces of equipment. How did you handle that in your crop rotation for that farm?
Well, I want to back up just for a second and tell you that the farmers prior to the Decatur and Iowa shows who hosted it were never compensated for any of their ground that they put into the farm. It was just their goodwill to do that, unless you went ahead and found, like we did, a facilitator to represent Jerry and I to work with the various corporations like the Beck Hybrids or DeKalb or Pioneer or John Deere or Case IH. We were just out of it. The only thing they, Farm Progress, would do is come in and actually cash rent on an equivalent basis the show site itself. So for 40 acres, we got compensated. The rest of it was just the goodness of our heart. Now, back to your other question was, how do you plan for it? Farm Progress will basically come in and tell you the year before what crops need to go where that year so they can put their crops in their correct rotations for the show with that. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, you might serve on various community boards and have various committees. Doing the prior show is like farming by committee, which is not, most farmers do not care for, including this one. Because every time we made a decision for the show site, which basically was 1,500 acres plus, we would have to go to the show manager. He would have to run it to Chicago for their blessing. They'd have to come back and see, you know, if the vendor wanted it that way or not. So it would take up to about 7 days to get a decision. Most of us farmers would do a split decision by, or at least overnight time for the next day.
That's a lot of people involved in areas that you didn't necessarily have before. So when you said farming by committee, wow, that's tremendous. So when it came to hosting all of these folks, and heard you say that the power company had to verify they could have enough power. Did you have new power trenched into areas? Did you have to put in a bunch of stubs in so that you could run anything from concession stands to power for trade show booths?
Yeah, correct. And I want to come back to the 911 here in a little bit. But for the utility, including the phones and including the electric, they had to basically run three-phase electric down the roads to the show site, turn into the middle of a mile strip, and actually go back about half a mile and put in streets, they put in power poles, they put in buried cables for the 40 acres. So they really constructed basically a city worth of utilities and then turned right around in a week's time and after about a week after the show, come in and rip it all back out.
And most of the time, oh my gosh, they took it back out?
And most of the time, no cost at all to the Farm Progress show with that. Very little... There's very little incentives from the Progress Show for the people, but we did appreciate it, and the community and the whole state learned a lot.
Wow. Okay. You said you wanted to go back to 911. What were some of the things you were going to mention about that?
I was wanting to chat about that. I mean, we take our freedom in this country, and I'm an Army veteran, and we take this freedom in our country pretty much for granted. And so you have something like 911 came out in 2001, and you realize that in 2001, on September 11th, the terrorists hit. 2000, on September 27th, this show started. We did not know for about 2 weeks whether or not we would have a show, mainly because, of course, of restricted airspace, people not flying, but also the largest tent the awning company in the country is at Lafayette, which is Lafayette Tent and Awning. They were on hold for about a week to see if they had enough warehouses in the New York City area or if they were going to take all their inventory of tents there. Well, meanwhile, we're sitting with about half of their tents out here at Tent City that might have to come down at a moment's notice and go to New York, which, you know, that would have been fine with it.
Oh.
Just that the other thing is this: during the show, we had extra security because it was a restricted airspace. This was the first large event in the U.S. after 9/11, There was, I mean, there's no football games or anything until this thing came along with 300,000 people in 3 days.
Holy cow. There, just the 100,000 people a day coming through your farm. How did you supply water for the whole day? Because you had to have people drinking water, cooking, porta potties, all of that. How was that handled?
Yeah, and the farm, Farm Progress, has all their plans pretty much on a template. Where the water lines have to go, they were had to be buried in. The phone lines had to be overhead. I mean, the cellular use wasn't as strong at that time as it is now. Then they had to work with the 4-H groups and the FFA groups to make sure all their food stands were up and running, and what food they'd be serving at the various booths with that. And then you would have, before that, and you're seeing some of the pictures now, there were some beehives right there. But you have mulch around various booths and things. And you have to realize, out in the middle of a flat, black field, they dumped 100 semis of wood mulch. And you can see some
100 semis of, wait, let's reiterate that. 100 semis of wood mulch for people to walk on.
Right, which all had to come back up, you know, weeks later. And so you see some of the pictures coming through of the school of nursing. It's for everybody. These farm shows are for everybody. Kids learning various ag products. There, the governor, of course, opened it up. Yeah, there'll be a picture here somewhere, maybe of a congressman doing an interview and being there. So it's an educational for it. Purdue had a large input and into the show with it. We actually was joking, called this the new Purdue South Campus for a while because of the show, because we had so many staff and professors out here doing, you know, right there's a congressman. If you're seeing the same picture I am, it gave them a chance to have a platform with it. It gave Purdue a chance to do a lot of field trials. We actually worked with Purdue on soil compaction because we thought this would be a good chance to get. So they were doing some soil compaction studies. Because after you run these type of tractors and things over it, and you run 300,000 people over a certain area, and we've been to shows, particularly before they were tarvied like Decatur is and that, the ground is worse than cement when everybody leaves.
Wow.
So old technology, just excuse me, if you're seeing that same wind pump, that wind pump's been on our farm now for at least four generations with it, and we used to have a lot of cattle back then. Sorry about that.
Oh, sure. The windmill for when you had cattle, so that was a pump for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh. I said it wrong. Wind pump. It's a wind pump. I always correct everybody. It's a wind pump. We pump water. We don't mill grain with it.
That's a wonderful point. Alan Kemper, stay with us. We have bottom of the hour news, and when we come back, we have a number of other things that we want to ask you questions about when it comes to hosting 300,000 people on your farm for the Farm Progress Show in 2001, and we will do that after this. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, and we have this great discussion going on today with Alan Kemper. He is south of Chicago, Illinois, and his farm hosted the Farm Progress Show back in 2001. What's the big deal about the Farm Progress Show? Well, for those of us in this region who are familiar with Big Iron, take that times three, and you now have the Farm Progress Show. 100,000 people are touring your farm daily for 3 days. Oh, and it's the week after September 11th. So things get a little out of hand really fast, but it sounds like they were handled extremely well. And Alan, I've had some questions from people who have been listening. One of them is, was it all gravel roads to the farm site for this show, and what did you do about dust control?
No, it wasn't. Matter of fact, if you had gravel roads, you wouldn't have held the show with it. One of the prerequisites is to have a hardtop roads with it. Matter of fact, they came in, the county did, and that part of their package was they were coming in and improving the two main parallel roads feeding the show site prior to it. So there wasn't any dust until you hit the parking lots with that. And that was a good thing. So, but you had to reroute traffic. They had to reroute traffic. There was big exit signs on Interstate 65. US 52 was one of the main corridors in with it. They had a one-way county roads. sure the traffic flowed well.
And that was the only way in and out. And when you mentioned 40 acres of area for demonstration, et cetera, did that also include parking for all of these people coming and going?
40 acres or 40 football fields was just the city of exhibits. It had nothing to do with the Jewish demonstrations. It had nothing to do with the parking. The parking was two individual 80-acre fields. And the rest of the 1,200 acres was for the show site of putting tile in or yields on different crops or nutrients, with it from sorghum to soybeans to, corn and everything. The demonstrations of one combine versus the other, they actually had, which was interesting for everybody concerned, but they mounted stoplights on top of front-end loaders on tractors and put them about a fourth of the way down the field so the combine operators could tell when it was their turn to go down through the field. It would hit green, and then you would see a certain brand go down. It would hit red until they were ready for the next one. So there was a lot of people enjoyed that. But in the demonstration or in that city area, it's just not grain bins and manure spreaders and such. I mean, there was a lot of tents that held basically auditoriums that was doing different shows, whether it was on cooking or nutrition, human nutrition, or medical as such. So there was various that. And I'll give at least my family a little bit of credit. We were the first one we know of, and there probably was before us, to have and ask for and have a chaplain on duty 24/7 during the show in case there was some type of crisis or in case there was some flashback to a 911 or a medical emergency. We would actually have a chaplain on site.
Oh, that was a fantastic idea, considering the mood of what was going on at that point in time. And a big question for you about that, Alan. Being what had happened that week with the Pentagon was crashed, the Twin Towers were hit. What was happening with the crowd that was showing up that day? Were they very somber? What do you remember from that?
I think. Not only the host, we were very somber, but so were all of our guests. But on the other hand, they had been kind of cooped up in their area, wherever that's at, in rural U.S., without many activities. So you saw them also stretching, walking, enjoying, but being somber too. But it was giving them a chance to relax a little bit and take their mind off of the tragedy that had just happened.
Absolutely. This is a little bit of a way to get away from there. And where did people stay when they came for this event? Because I don't think the community that you live in really hosts a wide plethora of hotels.
No, we don't with that. But Lafayette area has quite a few hotels due to Purdue University. We are south of Lafayette. We're only about 40 miles north of Indianapolis. And Indianapolis hosts a lot of things, including the Indianapolis 500 and other venues that have that. And people were staying, that far away. They were driving 60 miles or so. And you have a lot of us old blue jean farmers that will drive 3 and 4 hours to come see the show and then drive 3 or 4 hours back home that day to maybe take care of the chores of the cattle and such with that. And this show was also for livestock producers, too. They had a horse whisperer showing how they train horses and break them to ride and such there, too. There was something for everybody at these shows and still are with that. We actually put in a bid to host this show again, but for some reason, Farm Progress said Indiana was too far east, although we maxed out their crowd numbers that they had wanted.
I bet you did. This was a huge crowd to be coming in. And I heard you mention 4-H and FFA food stand. You must have had quite a food court for everybody at this point in time to make sure that breakfast and lunch were covered.
It was, and they were scattered out. And if you would just take a regular city and look at the different streets, you would have different restaurants on different corners, maybe a quarter mile apart. So, and when you came, there was a program that you could get, and it showed where the various foods were and what they were with that. But the, excuse me, the main thing was that they had to have all that prepared ahead. I mean, pretty much with that. So, you know, it would be hard to put together a number package, I'm sure, to feed all those people with it in water and such like that.
I can't imagine what it would be like to feed all of those folks. And but for folks who are watching our live stream on Facebook and YouTube and Acres TV, you can see some of the photos that Alan has shared with us inside the tents. You know, as he mentioned, the Purdue School of Nursing was on site. You have Orion Samuelson, it looks like, from U.S. News and Farm Report interviewing you there, Alan. And what are some of the highlight memories that you have during that time when all these folks were visiting your farm?
I think some of the best times were, hold on just a second, was just seeing a lot of the friends that we knew that we were trying educating a lot of the people to agriculture. You see my picture of my wife and driving school nursing golf cart around, just being on the site around that. So it was very enjoyable, but after 3 days, it was very nice to have it over. At least having the crowd over. It wasn't over by no means, because we had to go in there with Case IH loaned us, at least, and Jerry Smith, John Deere loaned them, some big four-wheel drives and some big rippers to come in and re-rip all the soil back up and get all the things off of it. So it'd be, you know, good yields, hopefully, the following year.
So, Alan, after everybody left, how long did it take to clean up, and was that part of Farm Progress's commitment to you that they were going to do the cleanup, or did a lot of that fall to you and your family?
No, the Farm Progress did all the cleanup with it from the mulch to they actually dumped out two semi-loads of rip rock, white limestone out in the middle to make, they thought it would make their entrances pretty. And so they had to come back in and clean it up, but we still had a little bit of it. Left when they left with it. But the corporation was really good in working with us. Everything was good. You might see the tile. They tiled to 40 acres and showing how systematic tiling works for it and such. They came in. If you needed a building in the, and with what I said, the farmers really do not get compensated. So if you want to build a building, that's up to you and the manufacturer. If you wanted to do silos in the past, that was up to you. So consequently, or if you wanted to build homes, at one time they would build new homes for the host with that. But that was up to you. That was up to you afterward, though, to pay for them. Unfortunately, some farmers overate the candy, so to speak, and end up paying. And there was a track record there for about 30 years, about every fifth farmer went out of business after the show that hosted the show, because they'd overeat the candy and pay for it. For us, there was a deal that we had cut with Farm Progress that said, yeah, come on in. We love to have you. We are not building new buildings. We're not putting up livestock. We are not building a new house. We might do some residing on the sheds. We might do some tidying up with it. We thought our farmstead was very much up to speed to start with. And so that's the way we were. Yeah, you're seeing the cover off the magazine. That's what the show looked like, basically, that crowd machinery.
How soon before the actual event day did equipment start arriving at your place? Because there are semi-loads of farm equipment that would be set up and displayed for an event like this. Were they coming 2 weeks in advance to start setting up equipment?
Oh, yeah. There was probably some that was up to a month ahead, depending. And they would schedule. We had to harvest, like, maybe up to an 80 acres or so just to have them be able to build their machinery and put them together prior to it. So, and with hats off to Kinsey Manufacturing out in Iowa, they decided, and that's their trademark, really, is right by their tent to go ahead and put up a big post that's probably about 3 foot in diameter, and then they put a grain cart up on top of it. And so The only thing really left in the show site, I think, is all the concrete that went underground to do that pole. It was an impressive display. I will admit that.
I would have to say it was. And so as we have our last few moments together here, Alan, would you do it again if the opportunity were to arise?
Yeah, we would do it again, and there's a couple of reasons. One, I think agriculture needs to be chatted about most, the whole thing from fork to table, with from the cattle lot to a steak. And the communities, a lot of mom-and-pop individual restaurants and different businesses really benefited from having the show in the community with it. And so we would do a lot just because we love our community.
This was so much fun to learn more, and I just kind of accidentally stumbled upon this story that I hadn't known, which was that Farm Progress was hosted by farmers, for farmers, on their own operations. And so thanks for filling me in, and especially thank you to Max Armstrong. When I stumbled on this story, I didn't know who to ask, who'd been a past host. Max knew, and he happily shared your information. So thank you, Alan.
Well, thank you much. I want to just hats off to all the farmers that volunteer their time for the various commodity organizations, including beef, cattle, and commodities and such, because they're doing a lot of their free time and away from their families to do the work of agriculture.
Thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening today. I appreciate that. We're going to catch up with one more round of weather and maybe sneak in a couple of headlines before the top of the hour. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining me today. And I say me because it is just me. Dean's off somewhere, and I get to enjoy being a part of today, your day, right here from Pierce, South Dakota, with the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association's meeting, where they wanted to honor their Leopold Conservation Award winner, and that is the Blue River Ranch from Castlewood, South Dakota. This is a father-son operation. Eli is the son, Barry his dad. They have been doing an integrated livestock operation where they're working very closely with soil health principles to improve what's going on their operation for better water conservation, grass, and so much more. So congratulations to the Blue River Ranch for that award. Don't forget to pay attention tomorrow. You have an opportunity right here during this show to qualify for the Desperado Vegas Dream trip. That is a trip for two to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. We're throwing in two round-trip tickets, as well as two tickets to see the show of the Eagles, a hotel stay, and you're getting $500 spending cash. A pretty big package. And that winner is going to be announced at a giveaway party that will be on January the 8th, and that will be happening at the Elite Suite at Kingpin's. So make sure to mark your calendar for January 8th, but also make sure that tomorrow you are listening during this show when I give you an opportunity to register for that event. Now, other things that are going on, well, we never want to skip out on all of our headlines. One of the things that has recently been announced is that Corteva has a new hybrid non-GMO seed that is actually going to be a more drought-tolerant wheat. When we think about wheat here in the Red River Valley, oftentimes it looks more like a rotational crop than it does a crop that we are focusing on. But other parts of the world are certainly grazing much more wheat than they have in the past. Now, with this new hybrid non-GMO, there's an opportunity for farmers to get more out of their crop with the changing climate and potentially growing demand. A lot of countries aren't exporting maybe the way they once did, and this could be an opportunity for some of our growers as well. So this comes out months after the Argentina-based BioSeries had gotten regulatory approval for a genetically modified drought-tolerant wheat. So that will be a couple coming up very soon. Keep that in mind. And then also the herbicide dicamba, which we know dicamba's usage over the top treatments in soybeans and cotton was changed last year when there was no more over-the-top use of that product and farmers could only buy what was already available in the system. We don't foresee a change coming for 2025. There is probably a lot of debate about what will happen with that molecule for those particular crops and those particular post-application applications. We'll know more here soon, but right now it doesn't look like a move is going to be made by the EPA in time for the 2025 growing season. and downside. When it comes to the 2025 growing season, that's coming sooner than might be expected. So that's just one thing on the top of mind right now as we get ready for growers to plan ahead for 2025. There'll be so much more. We'll talk about some of that tomorrow, including some helicopter-sized research and new information for those of you using drones in the field. Thanks for being here. Stay tuned for the Jay Thomas Show, which is coming up next.